Welcome back, everybody. My name is Kaz.
This is Medibot.
And this is episode 79 of,
79
of the Skulls cast.
Thank you, John Belushi.
Is that so? Wherein we review Cons of Tarkir, the remaining cards.
All of us. So we went through the five teams.
We did.
But there are a lot of cards that are not officially on teams.
Yep, no, so we're just gonna no watermarks in the background. First up,
Smite the Monstrous. 3 and a white for an instant. Destroy target creature with power 4 or greater. Yep. For power being important and also big, this is gonna probably have targets available.
It's pretty good removal.
Yep.
Next it's up. A reprint.
Yeah,
I guess we should mention that came up in Innistrad.
Yes.
Actually, and then got reprinted in
somewhere
Theros. I think it was just plain Theros.
Could be.
Because we had that and Lash of the Whip.
Yeah.
Making a 3/5 the perfect creature because it could dodge both of those.
Yes. All right. Next up is Siegecraft. 3 and a white for an aura that enchants a creature. Enchanted creature gets +2/+4. So attach an ox to something.
Yeah. I don't think we ever want to be doing that. But
unlikely. Okay. Next up looks to be Rush of Battle. 3 and a white for a sorcery. Creatures you control get +2/+1 until end of turn. Warrior creatures you control gain a lifelink until end of turn.
Yeah. Important thing to understand, all the creatures get bigger.
Yes.
Everybody gets bigger. They crush your face.
This is kind of a bad
Warriors
card.
Yeah, this is... Hey.
Even if only one or two of their guys are getting lifelink, this is going to make you go...
This is the white overrun.
Yes.
This set is full of those overruns, I mean.
Set about creatures and getting in fights. Alright. Next up, Killshot. 2 and a white, instant, destroy target attacking creature.
I think we used to call this Rebuke.
Hmm.
So, functional reprint. Pretty decent removal. The problem that I have with it is you don't often want to be, like, holding that mana back.
Right.
Or, like, if they've already attacked, it's too late. It's hard to...
Yeah, they still get their raid trigger off it.
Right. It's hard to maneuver this around, like, specifically the thing. And it's just plain awful if they're playing, like, Pony Back Brigade. Like, yeah, I guess I'll kill your goblin token. So, it's... Honestly, it's second in my mind to Smite the Monstrous for, like, quality of removal.
All right. Next up is Feat of Resistance. 1 and a white for an instant. Put a +1/+1 counter on target creature you control. It gains protection from the color of your choice until end of turn.
So yeah, what is it? Chosen of the God?
God's Willing.
God's Willing. God's Willing is a real card. Feat of Resistance is a hella real card.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not in a heroic set anymore. It probably doesn't matter. This blank's removal, it makes your guy live through combat or win combat, and he gets bigger forever. Hey.
Yeah. Extra spicy if you have some of the Abzan counter lords. Oh, suddenly also
he flies and has lifelink. Wow.
Wow. Next up is Erase. Single white, instant exile target enchantment.
It's what Erase always did. This is a reprint. It's kind of questionable here because there aren't any enchantments that you need to erase.
Ascendancies.
I guess.
But then, what, like, exile being better than destroy is not really a thing in
Well, okay, Sultai Ascendancy, and we exile it so they don't get to delve.
Yeah.
Still kind of funky looking here.
All right, next up is Defiant Strike. Single white for an instant. Target creature gets +1/+0 until end of turn. Draw a card.
It does cycle.
It does cycle.
And for something that activates Jeskai Prowess, which is the reason why I was saying, hey, we don't get to see all the stuff that actually makes Jeskai cool. Hey,
because yeah, it's one of them.
Not branded. It may as well be, though. This is the one of the better ways to just activate prowess if that's what you're interested in doing, because it, you know, draws you a card.
Right.
Hey.
Low mana replaces itself.
Mm-hmm.
Minor beneficial effect. All right. Next up is Alabaster Kirin. 3 and a white for a 2-3 Kirin with flying and vigilance.
I like this guy a lot.
This is a very good creature.
He attacks in the sky and then still blocks a morph.
Very good in its white class.
Yeah. Also, evasion is great. And this guy is a common. This guy is pretty dang good.
Next up is Venerable Lamassu, 6 and a white for a 5-4 Lamassu. It flies.
Which, okay, at uncommon seems kind of underwhelming, especially if you've played like Avacyn Restored and freaking Archangel is around. And you're like, oh my god, Archangel is a wrecker and blocks and is great and has more toughness. What is this nerd doing here? Well, what this nerd is doing here is breaking board stalls, is coming down and killing your opponent on his own because the board is so gummed up.
I just can't deal with 5 power in the air.
So think of this like you would think of Lava Axe, basically. Except like a Lava Axe for 15 that takes place over 3 turns.
Alright. Next is Take Up Arms. 4 and a white for an instant. Put 3 1-1 white warrior creature tokens onto the battlefield.
Yep. It's a wonderful card.
Yes.
This is expertly designed. It's an instant, so it activates prowess. It's dudes, so... dudes, and it's warriors, so it works with like warrior tribal stuff. It is a perfect fit for all of the wedges that it crosses, and even just sort of decently powerful. Like, surprise, men! Maybe they're bigger because of the warrior lords or whatever. And it's like,
All right. Next up is Suspension Field. 1 and a white for an enchantment. When Suspension Field enters the battlefield, you may exile target creature with toughness 3 or greater until Suspension Field leaves the battlefield.
Maybe that's what you want to race for. You just see that they're casting Suspension Field or whatever. So Journey to Nowhere, I looked at it and didn't think that it needed like an additional drawback and to boost a rarity. But it still basically works.
Suspension Field will still basically do good work.
This is really good removal.
Maybe that drawback is there so you're less tempted to use it. Like, oh no, they're just going to want to use it on a morph. Okay, well, not allow them to use it on a morph.
Oh, yeah. It's true, because when you exile it, it changes zones, and so you would have to see it.
Yeah.
That's what.
All right. Next up is Brave the Sands. 1 and a white for an enchantment. Creatures you control have vigilance. Each creature you control can block an additional creature.
Garbage.
Not so great.
Pretty awful.
Giving your team vigilance and extra blockingness is not a good way to win friends and influence people.
I want them to have size. You know what would actually make this card okay? If, when it entered the battlefield, you got a warrior token. Just one. Then I think it would be good. Then I would like this card.
All right. And next is End Hostilities. 3 and double white for a sorcery. Destroy all creatures and all permanents attached to all creatures.
Destroy the garbage that those creatures threw away from their breakfast this morning. Destroy those creatures' bank accounts.
Destroy the idea for the poem they were thinking about a few minutes ago.
So, yeah.
Here's your 5 mana Wrath.
It is. It's huge and good.
Wrath is basically, this the is blowout it's always
right.
been.
It's a pretty well understood thing. This is strictly Wrath. Yeah.
Well, I guess it's...
Okay, fine. They can, like, regenerate. But yeah. It's a very powerful card.
All right. Next up is, looks like, a Wetland Sambar. Not Sandbar, Sambar.
Sambar. Yes. It's an elk.
So 1 and a blue for a 2-1 elk.
Which is really garbage. Pikers are kind of bad in this set, actually. You'd think, like, oh, he's going to trade with him. He'll never trade with a morph. It'll factually never happen. For one, they're not going to block if their morph is more valuable. For another, the morph will very quickly become something that beats it.
Yes.
Even Sidisi's pet, for instance, can just laugh off whatever pikers exist. There are a ton of O4s, O3s, O4s, and O5s that just kind of block them forever. It doesn't have a home, poor Sambar. All the other pikers that I like do something else.
Right.
They have this other nature to them.
Jump.
They like leave a piker behind. And those are pretty dang good. Maybe they grow. Maybe they're warriors. Maybe they enter the battlefield and do something. Maybe they're in a color that can easily bring them back. Wetland Sambar is none of those things, and so he just has nothing left to recommend him.
All right. Next up is Wee Fate, 3 and a blue, instant, draw 2 cards.
Inspiration was already kind of decent, and this is like instant to be like prowess. Haha.
Yeah, that's rude. I draw cards and that's my combat trick.
Yeah.
Alright. Next up is Singing Bell Strike, 1 and a blue for an aura that enchants a creature. When Singing Bell Strike enters the battlefield, tap enchanted creature. Enchanted creature doesn't untap during its controller's untap step, and enchanted creature has 6. Untap this creature.
Yep. Really good removal.
This is pretty great blue removal.
That's Curse of Chains. It's Narcolepsy. You know, comes in early, hits pretty hard.
Technically, eventually beatable, but that's okay.
That's probably okay. I guess it's also this like janky combo with Outlast creatures.
Yes, you want to get very advanced.
It's like, I outlasted my guy, but I also have 6. No, never Singing Bell Strike. You're okay. Singing Bell Strike, an early dude, and feel pretty great about it.
Yep. All right, next up is Monastery Flock, 2 and a blue for a 0/5 bird with Defender and Flying. Morph for a blue.
As a wall that can attack, that's not bad. You know, morph it. And, you know, you finally flip it up for really cheap when it becomes a good blocker and gums up the board, which is something that you want because you want it, I guess, in your
deck. Well, importantly, once attacking with a 2/2 no longer feels good, he does something else, which is...
Man, like, he even locks up the air, which is...
Yeah, is a big
scary to me.
Blocker,
hey, I
which
can't...
shuts down other plans. All right. Next up is Disdainful Stroke. 1 and a blue for an instant, counter target spell with converted mana cost 4 or greater.
This is decent as
this
a counter
is,
spell.
This is fine because it basically, most days, it says counter target important spell.
Hmm.
Like charms, you can't catch charms with it.
Can't catch charms, can't catch morphs.
Yeah. But a lot of important stuff will get caught by it.
Yeah.
And for a 1 and a blue hard counter on that.
The other thing is it kind of makes you play the basic game of Magic. Mm-hmm. So you're not a Remand or a Monolink deck where you get to, starting on turn 2, like hold up this counter wall or whatever.
Right.
You actually have to play. You have to play your 2-drop or your 3-drop because this is doing factually nothing on those early turns.
Right. It's cheap, so it's easy to leave mana up on the later turns, not because you're actually playing it early. All right. Next is Crippling Chill, 2 and a blue for an instant. Tap target creature. It doesn't untap during its controller's next untap step. Draw a card.
Oh, wait. Frost Breath hit 2 things. That's what it did. Okay. That's why this gets
Which started. Is why it was nasty.
Yeah.
This replaces itself.
That's also pretty dang decent. And again, is this cantrip with the prowess color?
Yeah, in blue, so Jeskai. You know, if you can just keep... If you always have cards in your hand, you always are threatening to activate prowess.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next, speaking of cards in your hand that can activate prowess, cancel.
Straight up cancel is
1 in double blue, instant, counter target spell.
I don't think I've ever... played this. I've picked it a couple times just as like filler, but the problem with it is really in the cost. Blue is hard to support in the wedge set.
Maybe it's a little easier to support on a more expensive spell.
Oh, it is.
Such as Waterwhirl, 4 and double blue for an instant, return up to 2 target creatures to their owner's hands.
This is bonkers, by the way.
Like, I'm remembering Sigurd's Revenge. It's like, yeah, Sigurd's Revenge. Which is a little stronger than this card. This is still just fine. Turns out 6 mana for double unsummon.
Well, Sigurd's Revenge was a sorcery, too.
Oh, yeah.
And this is just, ha ha!
Yes.
But actually, and on a rare occasion, it's going to be a 6-mana peel from reality.
Yes.
But it could also be just blowout city as you, like, bounce 2 gigantic things.
And pump my team. Right. Because, again, we're still in Jeskai territory. So that is certainly something.
Yeah. Waterworld is nutty.
All right. Next is Blinding Spray. 4 and a blue for an instant. Creatures your opponents control get -4/-0 until end of turn. Draw a card.
I'm not so happy about this cantrip. Because that's my crucial, like, that's holding 5 up to be able to flip my dwarf or whatever.
That's my 5 mana for my beef mountain.
My pine walker or my Krumar Bondkin.
Yeah.
Or my Einok Trapper.
Ponyback Brigade.
Ponyback Brigade. My Gudul. Abomination of Gudul.
Pretty much any 5 morpher actually looks feels like a better use.
But hey, you know, maybe the thing that I said about Turbo Fog, where you just have like every Blinding Spray and Feast of thing.
Mm-hmm. Pay 5 for a fog that cantrips. All right. And we've got Clever Impersonator. 2 and double blue for a 0/0 shapeshifter. You may have Clever Impersonator enter the battlefield as a copy of any non-land permanent on the battlefield. Any non-land permanent, Kaz.
I know, he can be a planeswalker, he can be a goofball, he can be an artifact or enchantment.
Do all kinds of bonkers stuff.
Yeah. So,
importantly, he's still always a creature spell, so he won't trigger prowess.
He is a creature spell.
Yeah.
But if he enters the battlefield as a thing, he is never a creature while he's on the battlefield.
Right, so he won't trigger a creature who enters the battlefield.
Right. This is the biggest headache on a card in the set, probably. Mm. And it's also pretty powerful in
green. Yes.
And kind of a plant for constructed formats. It's like the best clone that ever was, really.
All right. Next up is Throttle.
Throttle!
4 and a black. Instant target creature gets -4/-4 until end of turn.
Full throttle.
Just choke him out.
Lash of the whip. So it's here. This is really good. Well, maybe not really good removal, but it's
strong.
Good.
It's strong and fine removal, and it's my friend. Next up is Rotting Mastodon, something else to do with 4 and a black, for a 2/8 zombie elephant.
That's all you get.
If you want to block every ground creature, you can play Rotting Mastodon.
You can have the tallest wall. You can be the tallest man.
I think this is second highest toughness in the set.
Whoa, really? What's higher than
the turtle?
Oh, god damn it. Fine, yes. You're not wrong. I shouldn't yell at you for that. The stupid turtle.
No, yell at the turtle. Don't yell at me.
Toughness. It's not your fault that he has 9 toughness.
All right. Next up is maybe a better source of large amount. It was better sink for large amounts of mana. Rite of the Serpent. 4 and double black sorcery. Destroy target creature. If that creature had a +1/+1 counter on it, put a 1/1 green snake creature token onto the battlefield.
So I think removal is kind of bad on purpose in this set.
Right.
Removal is a little cut. What the hell?
Removal on the whole is a little sparser.
Mm-hmm.
Little usually at higher rarities, a little more expensive or more conditional.
Right. And that's kind of where we are.
We don't get any Doom Blades flying.
Yeah.
Around.
Unless they only cost 1 mana and can hit non-black creatures. Stupid Murderous Cut. Whatever. Rite of the Serpent is basically functional. There's not a lot of replacements for destroy target creature.
Those 3 magic words. I will pay a lot to get those 3 magic words on the spell I cast.
It's just no substitute for ripping the heart out of something. Or, you know, sometimes you get a snake,
Sometimes you get a snake. Next up is Rakshasa's Secret. 2 and a black, sorcery. Tony the Tiger whispers sweet nothings into your ear. Target opponent discards two cards. Put the top two cards of your library into your graveyard. So Mind Rot with Minor Delve Enabler.
Mm-hmm.
Which is...
That's okay,
I guess?
It's
okay. This is an okay...
I mean, that's a two-for-one, right?
Yeah. All right. Next up is Molting Snakeskin. Single black for an aura that enchants a creature. Enchanted creature gets +2/+0 and has 2 and a black. Regenerate this creature.
This is kind of a sad spell because it's not in Jeskai colors, so we can't get like extra power out of it when you cast it or whatever.
Mm.
And other than that, I like... Aggression is really hard to put together in this set. And the regeneration cost is kind of big. This is a pretty weak card and pretty marginal.
It is. That said, in this card's defense, if I may, regeneration feels pretty good in this set.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of creature combat
going
on. Oh
my god. Like, I completely underestimated, like,
Kin Tree Warden.
That guy is awesome.
You know who that beats every day? Zergo Helm Smasher. Zergo Helm Smasher can't solve your 1/1 regenerator. So that said, like, I don't think I ever mainboard this card.
Hmm.
But I think there are times where I'd want to board it in if I'm just like, you know, he's beating all my blockers with things, and it's like, okay, well, beat this blocker. That said, if I'm, like, thinking about blocking super hard in cons of Tarkir, I'm maybe already losing. But it's, you know, regeneration. Don't underestimate it in a creature combat heavy set.
I guess what makes me sad is that the appeal of 1 mana, 2 damage, that's really alluring, but it's not gonna ever be that.
Alright, next is Dutiful Return. 3 and a black for a sorcery. Return up to 2 target creature cards from your graveyard to your hand.
I keep telling myself that I'm going to be able to cast this spell, and I never can.
Mm-hmm. It's just always something better to do.
Yeah, I mean, that's a 2-for-1.
Get 2 of your guys back, right? 2 guys back.
Yeah.
They killed your good guys. No?
And yeah, they have. There's inspiration in the set. Whatever they call it. We were just talking about it seconds ago.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's insane.
All right. Next is Debilitating Injury. 1 and a black for an aura that enchants a creature. Enchanted creature gets -2/-2.
This used to be called Enfeeblement, and that was black-black for -2/-2.
It used to be called Deadweight.
Okay. I admit, it also used to be called Deadweight. Deadweight +1 mana is still great.
Oh, yes. Paying 2 mana to kill just a morph feels just fine. Sometimes you just need to shrink a guy, but usually you're going to be just eliminating something with this spell. Next is Bitter Revelation, 3 and a black for a sorcery. Look at the top 4 cards of your library, put 2 of them into your hand and the rest into your graveyard. You lose 2 life.
That's pretty dang good. That's the 2-for-1 black sorcery at common that I want, actually.
You get your choice, the top 4.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of delve buffing.
Yep.
Blood
life
cost.
Loss.
If you're playing, if you're casting spells with blood,
it also has like
Sorin
on it,
because
Sorin is around.
Sorin is hanging out.
It's like what you did with the place, Ugin. Apparently, Ugin is from here.
Yeah.
I guess?
I think.
Okay.
Alright, next is Swarm of Bloodflies. 4 and a black for a 0/0 insect with flying. Swarm of Bloodflies enters the battlefield with 2+1/+1 counters on it. Whenever another creature dies, put a +1/+1 counter on Swarm of Bloodflies.
Honestly, I'd play this guy just for the flying.
5 mana, 2/2 flying? You're like, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll cut
every day.
Cut my throat out just to evade.
Hey, and then, like, he even helps with the ground stall.
Because
you don't want the ground, you know, you're not willing to throw creatures into the ground stall to try and move it along if it also means that your error clock is getting worse. Like, I was going to sacrifice a couple guys on an attack, but not now.
Not to the blood flies.
Not to the blood flies.
Here's what I don't get. Like, other than minor interactions with Rite of the Serpent, why isn't he a 2-2 that doesn't enter with any counters?
+1/+1 counter lords?
Okay.
Like, okay, just for the sake of weirdness, they're gonna have it be either all counters or no counters and entering the battlefield. They're not gonna split the difference, because that's just goofy. And they wanted it to have some to start out. That's the part that's way more questionable, and
yeah,
the part that I would probably change.
Yeah, I mean, like, it interacts with Rite of the Serpent and the counter lords and in other sets, other things, but it's...
You know what? No. I know why it is.
Why is that?
Because it's difficult to look at and perceive how large a creature is when it has both power and toughness and counters
yeah.
on it.
Okay.
And this
okay. So
did
just
happen.
For ease of use?
Yeah.
I can accept
this
that.
This absolutely did happen in Shards of Alara.
Yeah.
Because there were Jund creatures, one for each color, who did this. The black one even was like flying. And it's like, oh, it's a 1/1 and then gains counters. This is just the counters, so you look
yeah,
at it and see the
it,
like five marbles
on
it.
It.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay.
Like
so
four dots, 4/4.
I think
right.
that's the
I
basic
can accept that
there.
As a usability fix.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next up is Raider's Spoils, 3 and a black for an enchantment. Creatures you control get +1/+0. Whenever a warrior you control deals combat damage to a player, you may pay 1 life. If you do, draw a card. Disgusting.
This card is great.
Vile, reprehensible. Remember,
again, all the creatures get the power.
Yes.
Just like with Rush of Battle,
all the creatures
get bigger.
Get the power.
And there's plenty of like goblin tokens and craziness
yeah.
sticking around like that.
You're gonna draw
and
so many cards.
Sometimes you get to draw more cards.
You're gonna draw
and,
so many
that's
cards.
Also freaking great.
Alright, next up is Gurmag Swiftwing. Sounds like it could be a dude's name.
Yeah.
But it's a
I
bat.
I am Gurmag Swiftwing.
Specifically, it's 1 and a black for a 1/2 bat, flying first strike haste.
Weird to see keyword soup on a creature of this size.
Mm. Yeah, he's keyword squire.
Yeah. And he puts squire to shame.
Yeah.
Hell, again, I might just play him as a damn flyer.
He is 1 power in the air, attacking on turn 2. Put that goofy
yeah.
regenerate.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Put
him,
your
molting
snake skin.
Yeah,
snake
bat.
My 3/2 flying first strike regenerate.
My invincible creatures just beating you up.
Unbeatable bat.
Yeah, then I'm in a mono black deck and can get all of the dutiful returns on the wheel and all that.
Goodness, I unbelievable.
And
next
just
up,
like play a bunch of more things.
Next up is a reprint. Despise! I despise you. Single black for a sorcery. Target opponent reveals his or her hand. You choose a creature or planeswalker card from it. That player discards that card.
Yeah, we first got this in New Phyrexia.
Yes.
And I kind of liked it in New Phyrexia because it was like creature kill but in advance.
Yes.
And there were a lot of like decently sized creatures to hit with that. Here I think it's basically the same way.
Mm.
And being able to get the information might even be a little better because of all the morphs in the
right.
set. You see, oh, here are these 2 morphs that he has. It's probably going to be one of those. And it gives you a better read on those. I haven't had the opportunity to play with Despise yet, but I think I would.
And of course, if your opponent shows you a Planeswalker game 1, this is a fine thing to board in. Be like,
nope.
Not today.
Nope.
All right. Next card, Trumpet Blast. 2 and a red, instant attacking creatures get +2/+0 until end of turn. You lose the game.
Yeah, basically.
Trumpet Blast means that unless you have something deep up your sleeve, if your opponent throws a Trumpet Blast at you, you lose.
You're probably losing.
Good God.
It's a reprint. We've seen Trumpet Blast before. I don't think it was any good before. Like, here, it's a mainstay of the damn format.
Yes.
There's enough tokens kicking around.
There's enough just
suddenly, like, attackers.
Things, creatures everywhere.
Like,
oh. Million creatures everywhere.
Oh, no!
Creatures.
The board stall is over. The blast is here.
Okay, next up is Tormenting Voice. 1 and a red for a sorcery. That's an additional cost to cast Tormenting Voice. Discard a card. Draw 2 cards.
So card draw is a little better in this set. This is Wild Guess, but easier to cast.
Mm.
Like, Wild Guess would be beyond terrible in this set. And Tormenting Voice is actually fine. So, let's see. Essentially, drop two, draw two.
Yeah, so cycle two cards for one in a red.
That's pretty good. Like, you know, this is secret mana fixing, I think.
Mm.
And also, what's it enable? Prowess enabling.
Prowess enable, so there you go. Delve enable.
Mm-hmm.
Next is Swift Kick, which is kick enable. Three in a red for an instant. Target creature you control gets +1/+0 until end of turn. It fights target creature you don't control.
See, this is how Savage Punch is supposed to be phrased.
Mm.
You put the pump first, then you put the
fight,
then there's no ambiguity, then there's no going back in time, then it's not weird.
Time travel.
Swift Kick is great.
Jeskai.
This is sort of like second tier removal. I wouldn't want a bunch of this, but I find myself putting it in place of other things. Like, there's another red instant for the same cost at common that we're going to talk about soon that I find myself taking out and replacing with this.
Mm-hmm. All right. Next is Summit Prowler. Two and double red for a 4/3 Yeti.
Ferocious. Be ferocious. You have
double red, though.
He's not that
double
bad.
Color.
He's not as bad as the blue guy for the double color, because you're getting a creature out of it.
Next is Shatter, reprint, one in a red, instant destroy target artifact. Not a lot of targets.
It's junk. You don't even ever sideboard it in this set. Right.
Next is Bring Low. Three in a red, for an instant, Bring Low deals 3 damage to target creature. If that creature has a +1/+1 counter on it, Bring Low deals 5 damage to it instead.
Yep. So it kills anything but Salt Road Patrol, really.
Salt Road Patrol, still completely untouchable, world's greatest ox.
It can only hit creatures.
Mm.
Otherwise, that's fine. This is, again, like, tier 2 removal.
Yeah. Alright, next is Act of Treason. Another nice reprint to see. Mm-hmm. 2 and a red for a sorcery. Gain control of target creature until end of turn. Untap that creature, it gains haste until end of turn.
It's basically fine.
Just fine.
There's a lot of good sac outlets kicking around in this set, too, so you might get something more out of Act of Treason than just the surface.
Alright. Next is Hoardling Outburst. One in double red. For a sorcery, put 3/1/1 red goblin creature tokens onto the battlefield.
Like it a lot. Mardu likes to have a lot of creatures. Mm. Jeskai likes to be casting non-creatures, which this is.
Yeah.
And Teemer, I guess, wouldn't care so much about this. But hey, creatures.
Yeah. Creatures,
and it's
good?
It's dang decent.
3 mana, 3/1/1?
I would stretch the definition of castable to include this. Like, we've talked about cancel, blah. Talked about the other blue 2 guy, and that's blah, just because of the casting cost. This is just fine.
Yeah.
I would definitely pay 4 for this.
Yeah.
So waiting for it, that's not so bad.
Alright. Next up, speaking of goblins, is the Goblin Slide. 2 and a red for an enchantment. Whenever you cast a non-creature spell, you may pay 1. If you do, put a 1/1 red goblin creature token with haste onto the battlefield.
Oh, that's weird. So we have 2 kinds of goblin token kicking around?
Yeah, we have Red Goblin and Red Goblin with Haste.
That's really awkward.
Red Goblin with Lime.
Red Goblin with Lime. Vanilla Red Goblin.
Vanilla Red Goblin 0.
I frankly like Goblin Slide, and I can't wait to play with it.
Mm.
This is a build around the uncommon, if I've ever seen one.
Oh, yes.
It's like, I make my banner.
Sneak.
I tap the banner for one.
Sneak one of these into your Jeskai deck that already has some quality non-creature spells in it and just get some 1/1s for bonus time.
So like have all Hoardling Outbursts and Trumpet Blasts.
Yeah, yeah, there's your 4-mana Hoardling Outburst, Kaz. Alright, next is Burn Away. 4 in a red, instant, Burn Away deals 6 damage to target creature. When that creature dies this turn, and it will, exile all cards from its owner's, from its controller's graveyard.
Yeah!
So,
Blammo!
Kill a dude, and give the big old middle finger to the treasure crew sitting in their hand.
Yep. That definitely happened.
That definitely happened. It basically, on its face, is 5 mana to probably at instant speed kill a creature.
Yep. That it kills basically anything.
Kills most creatures.
Almost anything.
And it also kicks Delve in the shins. And sometimes will completely undermine the Delve player's line of play for the next several turns. So do not underestimate that second line of text. Next is Arc Lightning, none of whose text should be underestimated. 2 and a red for a sorcery. Arc Lightning deals 3 damage divided as you choose among 1, 2, or 3 target creatures and or players.
Arc Lightning is great.
Arc Lightning will tear you into pieces.
Great when it was printed in Urza's Saga. It's great here. It was great as Flames of the Firebrand. It's very great. Powerful.
It will probably kill 2 dudes. If you get to kill 3, invite your mother.
Bonkers. Like, oh no, my army of 2/1s. They're dead.
Next up is a very important fellow.
We're going to wait on him the other fellow.
Okay.
They're going to be their own cast, I think.
Okay, then we'll go to our last unaffiliated red card, which is Ashcloud Phoenix. 2 and double red for a 4/1 Phoenix with flying. When Ashcloud Phoenix dies, return it to the battlefield face down.
Whoa.
Morph for 4 and double red. When Ashcloud Phoenix is turned face up, it deals 2 damage to each player.
What a janky thing.
Love it.
I know. This is weird, really weird. I do like to see red getting more flying than it otherwise would get. And I know that this is the spot where they would print a dragon.
Right.
But there are no dragons on Tarkir. Yeah. So we get a phoenix. And it has a double life. Probably you just get a 2/2 down. Because 6 is a pretty hefty cost.
It is, but then it gets another extra life.
Yeah.
And it also gold boosts when it shows up and tags y'all for 2.
I like the card a lot. It represents big red, and that's something that
juicy.
It seems to be outside of the sphere of design of red. And it's really powerful when it happens. It's something that red should have as a tool. I only wish that we got more things like this or more support for it.
Speaking of support, I wonder if at this point you could make a casual Phoenix tribal deck that basically worked.
You probably could.
Nice.
There are lots
that
of Phoenixes.
That sounds cute. Next is Tusked Colossodon. 4 and double green for a 6/5 beast.
Take that, Crawworm.
Wow.
Get taken by me, Vulpine Goliath, I guess. Wait, how does the reverse of that happen? Okay, it's a pretty well understood thing. This guy is kind of big. I wouldn't want more than one.
The thing is that if you're in green, you probably have better beefy
guys. You probably do.
That said, he is still a beefy guy. Next up, Naturalize.
Straight Naturalize. It's a reprint.
Reprint.
So hold on. We have Shatter and Erase.
And Naturalize.
And they're all junk.
And they're all not really great in this set that's
all
about
reprints.
Creatures.
And you shouldn't use any of them.
They needed to be standard legal longer.
Right.
Probably.
We needed Erase to come into standard.
Alright. For those who aren't familiar, we should still say that Naturalize is 1 and a green for an instant to destroy target artifact or enchantment.
Yeah, that's what it does.
Alright. Next is Highland Game. Isn't that in just a month or two?
Highland Game?
Yeah. Just the one. 1 and a green for a 2/1 elk. When Highland Game dies, you gain 2 life. Now, here's a piker. You know, we were just saying how, plain piker, blah. This is a little less plain.
Tis.
Just that tiny bit of life gain.
The 2 life might be
makes
exactly
trading
what
him
you
off
want.
With something feel A-okay.
Right, that starts to sound like a plan.
Yeah.
Rather than just be
God,
kind of
I'm ahead on
crummy.
Life now. Dragon Scale Boon, 3 and a green for an instant. Put 2+1/+1 counters on target creature and untap it.
Surprise! I have I've never seen it cast in one of my games. It's kind of a blowout when it finally happens.
Right, much like the Spidery Grasp blowout that would sometimes happen.
Spidery Grasp was different because it gave the thing reach.
Yes.
And four toughness.
Yeah, it was +2/+4.
And it cost only 3 rather than 4.
Oh, I thought it was 4.
No.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Spidery
Grasp blowout.
And that was...
So the Dragon Scale Moon blowout is maybe not quite as savage feeling, but it is. It will still.
It's not so much to the point that you want to be seeking out Dragon Scale Moon.
Right.
This is something that you end up with more than like.
But it's not certainly far from the worst thing to be filling out the rest of your deck with once you get your good stuff in there. Next is Awaken the Bear, which is just like on a list of bad ideas in. Tokir is Awakening Bears. 2 and a green for an instant. Target creature gets +3/+3 and gains trample until end of turn.
Yep, this is pretty dang decent. So this is like just sitting next to Dragon Scale Boon makes it look really silly.
Yeah.
There's like giant growth plus trample.
Yeah! Bear power.
Bear power.
Speaking of bear power, next is Alpine Grizzly. 2 and a green for a 4/2 bear.
Alpine that for a dollar. Yeah, this is a ferocious plant.
This is a ferocious plant.
The reason that you're not left out in the cold, haha, if you're in the Temur Frontier.
Yeah. There's a bear with 4 power. Bears are just stronger on top.
There was a red card that was a recent functional reprint of a green card that was a 3-mana 4/1. Elvish Ranger, I think it's called. It was printed back in Alliance's unknown
ancient
card.
History.
And now, oh, power creep, or toughness creep. It comes down with 2 toughness, which isn't all that relevant. What this is a Grey Ogre with an ability. The ability is it gets +2 power.
All right, next is Windstorm.
Yep.
X and green for an instant. Windstorm deals X damage to each creature with flying.
Wow, take that, me, I guess.
Yeah.
No one's ever going to cast that. Whatever. I think this is a reprint. I'm pretty sure. A card this
very
basic.
Very likely. But like the versions of it I'm used to seeing hit players.
Well, that's Hurricane.
Yeah.
Variant.
I guess that's where I started. When I started playing Magic, the green X spell was the
Hurricane is something else.
Alright. Next is Seek the Horizon. 3 and a green for a sorcery. Search your library for up to 3 basic land cards, reveal them, and put them into your hand. Then shuffle your library.
This is a card that they get the idea to print in every multicolor set that they do.
Mm.
It's like, hey, it's a multicolor set. Have, like, green do fixing this way. And it's always garbage, and I never want to cast it. Happened in Ravnica. Or, I'm sorry, Return to Ravnica. And it's happening here. Again. It keeps happening.
Keeps happening. Well, you know, another code that keeps happening that maybe you'll be a little happier to cast.
Yes.
Is Incremental Growth. 3 and 2 green mana for a sorcery. Put a +1/+1 counter on target creature. 2 +1/+1 counters on another target creature. And 3 +1/+1 counters on a third target creature.
Right. Now, importantly, if you've never played with this spell before, like Cone of Counters, you do have to have 3 targets.
There must be 3 creatures on the battlefield for you to even think about casting this spell.
And, you know,
hopefully they're all yours.
Yeah, if it comes to the point where it's like, they're one guy, you're 2 guys, that's probably still okay. And if it's the point where you're casting it all on your guys, you win.
Incremental growth. Is
a little
suddenly...
like, hold on, you're a little 0-3 guy. Is a little,
Embodiment of Spring is now a 3-6.
Let's go.
Fun fact, this card doesn't have Defender on it. I move to combat.
Yeah.
Incremental growth has been printed before. It was a blowout then, and it's a blowout now. Because you're spreading it between 3 targets, even if they get rid of the one that you put the 3 on, you're still pretty far ahead.
Yeah.
So by diversifying your threats, it's a great use of your mana. Alright, next up is Trail of Mystery. 1 and a green for an enchantment. Whenever a face-down creature enters the battlefield under your control, you may search your library for a basic land card, reveal it, put it into your hand, then shuffle your library. Whenever a permanent you control is turned face up, if it's a creature, it gets +2/+2 until end of turn.
Like breaking morph symmetry, I guess.
Yes.
Which I've tried to play with this card before, and I just never drew it. And it would have been freaking amazing in every game that I played. It comes down a turn before the morph. It makes every morph more valuable. It makes your splash morphs castable. It is a mystery how I never got to play with this card.
It sort of does a little bit of fixing and some combat tricks for you. Thins your deck. Gets you on all 5 or 6 of your colors or however many colors
it are becomes
on.
A plan, which I think is fun. So I like seeing it exist.
First pick
as
this
a
and then
art.
Pick moves aggressively.
Like, hey, maybe I get to have a little fun with this. Be like central green and then spread out from there and spread a little further than you would be able to anyway.
Yeah, play pony back for gauge.
And it gets you cards.
Yeah.
And thins your deck. Yeah.
Gas.
That's green. So for artifacts.
Some artifacts.
We do have artifacts.
Lens of Clarity. One mana artifact. You may look at the top card of your library and at face-down creatures you don't control. Just, you know, whenever.
Yep. It's very confusing. It's an easy card to lose with, similar to Sphinx of Dwar Isle, to the effect of drawing extra cards without meaning to, so your opponent will call you on it. And be like, nope. Because you're just, like, constantly looking at the top card of your library. You might put it into your hand. Then you get caught for drawing extra cards. I like that it's here. I don't ever want to use it.
I think it's important that it's in the set.
Yeah.
Have that route to information.
Sort of that, like, kitchen table thing. It's like, now I get to see all your morphs. All right.
Next up is the Heart Piercer Bow. 2 mana for an equipment. Whenever equipped creature attacks, Heart Piercer Bow deals 1 damage to target creature defending player controls. Equip it for 1.
See, one of the neat things about cheap equip costs is that you can, like, equip, attack, equip again.
Yeah.
And this doesn't really get you anything.
Yeah, this one doesn't do anything on defense.
So that's really awkward and janky, and this is bad and weird.
It's kind of weird and bad. Important minor note, it's the bow that deals damage, not the creature. This matters for things like protection. That's about it. Next is Cranial Archive. 2 mana for an artifact. 2, exile Cranial Archive. Target player shuffles his or her graveyard into his or her library. Draw a card. This is a really nice art.
It does. That's the most I can recommend.
That's the
for
highest
it.
Point on the card, I'm afraid. Is right. This gorgeous skull. Lovely skull.
Great skull.
Great. Fine work, skeleton.
I guess the exile part is there so that it's unambiguous as to where it goes.
Yes. Also to prevent loops, multiple cranial
archives.
Yeah,
although, like, that was the point of Elixir of Immortality,
right.
Almost.
But that's because it's Elixir of Immortality's point is to keep you alive.
I guess.
So that I can believe a little more thematically.
This thing is janky as heck.
This is goofy. Next is Briber's Purse. X for an artifact. Briber's Purse enters the battlefield with X gem counters on it. 1, tap, remove a gem counter from Briber's Purse. Target creature can't attack or block this turn.
I like this card a lot. Not really for its power, which I think is sort of middling, but for the fact that if you play it, you have to have the little glass beads on it in different colors.
Yes.
So that you can say, ha ha, he gets a bead.
He gets a gem.
That's really...
Warded you at. You could get in a fight today, or you could spend today admiring your new gem.
I like that part of it a lot. And so
or if you're feeling super
there.
Nice, is you get like a bag of Skittles or something, and use those.
Oh, yeah.
And then you give your opponent a candy.
Here you go.
To make them feel a little better. Like, are you sure you want to attack me? Nah, I give you candy. Next is Witness of the Ages. 6 mana for a 4/4 golem artifact creature. Morph it for 5.
It's always 5.
5/5/5.
5/5/5.
Here's your colorless morph. You can definitely pay this morph.
You can. The kind of weird part about him is that the morph mechanic already color fixes.
Mm, yes.
So he doesn't feel as necessary.
Right.
And then whatever color you're in, you can always get more out of the morph for 5.
Mm.
So this poor guy doesn't really have a home.
I guess you might feel okay if you have a 5-color deck and you want a little bit of safety in there.
Hmm.
Be like, okay, well, I can morph this guy.
But he's not a warrior. Why would I play 5-color if it's not 5-color warriors?
Right. Next is the Dragon Throne of Tarkir, 4 mana for a legendary equipment. Equipped creature has Defender and 2 tap. Other creatures you control gain Trample and +X/+X until end of turn, where X is this creature's power. Equip it for 3. So it's an expensive but repeated overrun.
Yeah.
Quite expensive. 9
yeah,
for the first one.
It's extremely expensive. Like, the division of costs is 4-3-2.
Yes.
So.
9 total mana to your first activation of this.
Oh, it's so janky. I never like it. But every color gets an overrun, and even no color gets
no
an
color
overrun.
Gets, you could play the face down deck.
Run him over.
Speaking of the face down deck,
hey.
You have Ghost Fireblade, 1 mana for a piece of equipment. Equipped creature gets +2/+2. Equip it for 3, but Ghost Fireblade's equip ability costs 2 less to activate if it targets a colorless creature.
So declare all targets pay all costs in that order so that you can do things like this. Yeah. This thing's bonkers. Did you ever work with Trusty Machete?
Oh, work is perhaps the exact word I'd use to describe what I did with Trusty Machete.
Trusty Machete was crazy good. Ghost Fireblade is not quite that good, but...
But it's still...
Still rather great.
I am very happy first picking this card.
Like, clearly what you're supposed
to do... It is rare.
Do
keep it.
It is.
Unlike
the
Machete.
You put it on morphs, and that's how, you know, there aren't any artifact creatures in the set. Really, there's Witness of the Ages that we just talked about at Uncommon, but he's also a morph. So, equips cheaply to morphs, and you feel great. And then also equips to basically whatever for its larger cost. And that's
importantly, you know, you can like equip it for cheap and then morph it later. And you save mana. Great job. It doesn't fall off or anything. And you feel like a genius. I just saved 2 mana on my car insurance by switching to Ghost Fireblade. Next up is Altar of the Brood. More like Altar of the Rood.
Yo!
1 mana artifact. Whenever another permanent enters the battlefield under your control, each opponent puts the top card of his or her library into his or her graveyard.
Take that, you. All
so
I have to do is put 40 permanents onto the battlefield, and then... This is awful as heck.
This seems... You know what I'd actually... A change to it that would make me like it better? Each player puts the top card of his or her library into his or her graveyard.
Wow. So then it becomes a positive...
Because we're clearly talking about Sultai here. So now it's like, I mill you, but my deck is full of Delve cards, and I know this because I built it.
Mm.
And so I'm accelerating my Delve for every permanent I drop.
I guess if there was some kind of like token plan that... Maybe no.
Yeah,
this is junk.
This is
you
junk.
Never want it. This
Speaking
is some
of
stupid comment.
Likely junk in limited formats, Ugin's Nexus, 5 mana legendary artifact. If a player would begin an extra turn, that player skips that turn instead. If Ugin's Nexus would be put into a graveyard from the battlefield, instead exile it and take an extra turn after this one.
Right. So between this and Shatter, I can get a Time Walk.
That's virtually a Time Walk.
There are no extra turns in this set?
No. Other than that.
Why is this here?
Plant for the next 2 sets. In the same how we got Temple of Ugin. And it's like, what the heck's an Eldrazi?
Ugin just always shows up early.
Ugin shows up and you're like, Ugin, your cards don't make sense.
Oh, but now like, they do.
Give it a minute. Alright,
yeah,
so
that,
now last
card
we have land. There is one land we'll talk about, and then we have some cycles of lands to talk about.
Yeah.
So the one land to talk about is Tomb of the Spirit Dragon. Ugin is the Spirit Dragon. Which is a land, not a legendary one though. A regular land, tap for 1 colorless mana. Two tap, you gain one life for each colorless creature you control.
I mean, repeated life gain is not junk, but
spending three lands to do it?
That's... if we're talking board stalls, like, for real, gain, like, two and three life a turn.
Okay, I'm gaining life, but I'm not breaking the board stall. What I'd really like to do is break the board stall.
Well, I'm saying the stall can go on for a little longer while you beat them down with flyers.
That's true. Well,
I honestly don't think that in Limited you ever want to cast Tomb of the Spirit Dragon simply because
you want
colors. Need
colors. Yeah. Speaking of colors, there are quite a few ways that the set really encourages you to play lots of colors. You have a 10-card cycle of dual lands that all enter the battlefield tap. Give you one life when they enter the battlefield and tap for two different colors of mana. They are, should I name them all?
Yeah,
that's good. Blossoming Sands for green and white, Tranquil Cove for white and blue, Dismal Backwater for blue and black, Bloodfell Caves for black and red, Rugged Highlands for red and green.
Now let me stop you right there. I'm going to give you a little breather for one. These are the allied color pairs.
Yes.
Each allied color pair only appears in one wedge.
Yes.
So these lands are not as good as the other lands. I keep repeating
in
this,
general.
But it
unless, of course,
repeating.
If you've already picked your three colors, of course,
yeah,
this has two of them,
fine.
It's just fine. But early on, when you haven't made a stronger commitment yet, they're a little shakier to take as your early fixing.
So yeah, because we're in wedges, not shards, these lands are not as great.
All right. Then we have the enemy color pairs of Scoured Barrens for white and black, Swiftwater Cliffs for blue and red, Jungle Hollow for black and green, Wind-Scarred Crag for red and white, and Thornwood Falls for green and blue.
And, yeah.
That's that. They're common?
They're common.
And so if your deck doesn't have any of these, I'd be a little worried. And then, those are also sort of functional reprints of the Refuges from somewhere in Zendikar block.
Just plain Zendikar. We had Refuges.
They were fine there and they were fine here.
Yeah. I mean, the Refuges were only ever allied.
Yes.
We didn't get, like, enemy Refuge.
Yes. In this set, it's a bit more important that, you know, it's great that at common, we have all 10 possible dual land pairs.
Mm-hmm.
Enters the battlefield tap, slide upside. It's. I think that's really important towards making the limited format at all playable. And then we have some nice reprints of what are called the fetch lands. These are rare. We have Flooded Strand. Oh, I should say they're all tap, pay a life, sacrifice, search your library for a X or Y, where X and Y are two basic land types. Put it onto the battlefield and shuffle your library. And these all exist in allied colored pairs. We have Flooded Strand, which can get you a plains or island. Polluted Delta will get you an island or swamp. Bloodstained Mire will get you a swamp or mountain. Wooded Foothills will get you a mountain or forest. And Windswept Heath will get you a forest or plains.
Okay, so if you have never seen these before, don't really know what they are, and think that they're crud, don't worry. Go to the card store, trade aggressively, and you will get lots of good things from people there for these lands. These are very popular lands. They're used across all formats. Make sure you get a very good deal on the trade. Lots of powerful stuff.
If you're just drafting at your card shop, don't feel guilty about rare drafting this.
Just don't.
Just
pick them.
Just be like, yo, Polluted Delta.
So,
I'm not playing this.
And by way of explaining why they are so good, the fetch lands just plain work with whatever format. They're the best possible fixing. Because it says plains or island, for instance, and not basic land, it can get any plains or any island, including dual lands that are old and busted and the greatest of all possible duels. So just by being able to fetch a plains, I can actually get any color of mana I want, because it can be the plains plus whatever the actual color I'm after is. Generally speaking, you use the fetch lands that match the colors of your deck, but you need not. Maybe you just sort of do this. If the one life price sounds a little high, keep in mind that it's also shuffling your library for no mana. So you can arrange the top cards of your library and then shuffle them away after you've already picked off the ones that you want. You get a new reroll. It also puts an additional card in the yard for basically free.
For delve or other graveyard resource mechanics.
Delve in this set and, you know, Tarmogoyf, Dredge.
Tarmogoyf.
Well, I guess Dredge itself wouldn't interact necessarily with that.
Grim Lavamancer.
Grim Lavamancer would. Death Rattle Shaman.
Death Cult.
Wait. Not Death Rattle. Was it Death Rattle Shaman?
No, I think it's Death. Deathrite Shaman.
Deathrite Shaman.
Yeah, DRS. Yes. Dr. S. Deathrite Shaman.
Yeah, so it's mana for
really
him.
The further back in Magic you go, you know, as you get to the more powerful formats, these only get better.
Right. So they are untapped lands, so it's like basically functional, and then their ability allows them to interact with everything. And that's why they're so good.
Yes. So Spalt player, do not let any unscrupulous traders deceive you out of the value of the card that you rightfully have opened. Yeah. These are strong, they're valuable, you can get
and
a good
ever
trade.
Ever since forever, every time a new set comes out, like, will they reprint fetches? Will they reprint fetches? In Zendikar they basically did, and we were all excited for that. And it worked really well in Zendikar with landfall and everything. And now they've, honest to goodness, just plain reprinted the fetches. They all have terrible flavor text now.
Oh, you know, it's talking about dragons.
Yeah.
But I think that's all for Counts Tark here.
It is! Well, okay, so we have two planeswalkers to do.
Oh, yeah. Do you want to talk about them now, or a different cast? Or?
A different cast, I think. Actually, where was the other one? Oh no, he's categorically not here. He doesn't fit in any category.
That's messed up.
Maybe they put him in here for no reason? No, because we would have...
I would have seen him. Well, click on just the main one?
It's like main one.
Oh, hold on, what's that last symbol on the end?
What? This one?
No, on the next line.
On the next line!
Ta-da!
Ha-ha! There he is.
Found it.
Okay, but
yeah.
See, like, clearly they want us to talk about them in this order. So we've done according to Mythic Spoiler as it do, and we'll save our talks about Planeswalkers for another cast.
So that's almost all.
That's almost all of Cons of Tarkir. I've enjoyed playing it a couple times.
I've enjoyed having to stop watching you play it a couple times because it was just too tragic when things happened. This is a high emotion set, which I guess is good, also means that sometimes I just can't play.
There's a lot of board stalls, and then someone draws their like stall buster, and that's the format. And it's a lot of tension, a lot of overruns, and a lot of skulls.
Skulls!